Yo, what up? Contested Layups, episode number 105.
Probably.
Yeah, I think it's 105. Thank you for joining us tonight. Remember, you can find us iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn.
Don't forget to check us out on YouTube by searching Contested Layups episodes, full episodes, and more. And
I didn't even introduce who that is. What's up, Raul?
Yo, crazy all day, let's go.
And we also have the man, John. What's up, John?
I'm locked in. I'm going to do something really bold. I'm going to take off my shirt while we're recording this.
Oh, baby.
Let's do it!
Oh, he's shirtless. Let's go! Guys, John's shirtless.
He has no shirt.
For pictures and video,
swipe up.
Go to YouTube by searching Contested Layups episodes.
Or go to my...
For John shirtless and more.
Or go to my OnlyFans page.
John's fans only page. It's Raul's birthday tomorrow. What's up, man?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Zippin' pippin', baby. 33.
Let's go. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling like I'm 32. But yeah. Really, I'm feeling like I'm 21. Can't stop me.
God. What are your plans, man? What are you doing?
Getting some massages. Probably checking out that Lion King. Some of us fall by the wayside. Some of us say, live and let live.
What is that from?
Circle of Life.
Oh, wow. Wow. God, this guy's both.
Lion King, baby. And then probably going to eat somewhere. I think we're going to check out this restaurant called Deucex.
What's that?
It's like a French... not like really a French. It's like a good casual kind of restaurant, but it's like they have like pretty good food, I think. I don't know. I haven't been there before.
Yeah.
But they have like a lot of like French dishes, it seems like. They work with like a lot of duck confit and stuff like that.
Get served by Tony Puck.
Tony Puck, yeah.
I don't think it's a French restaurant though.
No.
But yeah.
The cook is Alexis Ajinka.
Where's that?
I have no idea. I have to look it up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, man.
Well, we probably might not even be there. Brian might not even go. And we'll go somewhere else.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
He doesn't want to be followed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Autographs.
Yeah, stay away from me, paparazzi.
That's good, man. John, how's your week been, man?
It's been good.
What have you been doing?
Nothing.
How's school, man?
How's being shirtless?
Yeah,
how's being shirtless is feeling liberated. Woo! Nah, I mean, it's good. School is school. Just trying to handle the doldrums of the summer.
The doldrums of the summer, huh?
Doldrums.
How's renter life? Or not? You're the what's the word I'm looking for? Not the renter. What's the word?
How to be the boss?
Yeah. How's it being the boss?
Property manager.
Property manager.
Property boss.
Yeah. How's that been?
Ah, man, the crown is heavy, but somebody's got to wear it, you know?
This guy.
King shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Like Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, yeah. Manny Pacquiao
sucks. I'm tired of hearing about Manny Pacquiao. I'm tired of watching Manny Pacquiao. Get this guy off my TV, dude.
Wow, you're a Filipino saying you're tired of Manny Pacquiao.
I'm tired of it, man.
Dang.
Every time Manny Pacquiao fights, all the Filipinos get together, and it's like they're watching a doctor complete heart surgery or something with their hands and, oh no. Thurman should have won. Yeah, I said it. Thurman, baby. Thurman,
lies.
Merman.
Lies.
Thurman, Merman. What? John's the boxing expert on our podcast. John, what do you think about that fight last night?
It was close.
Yeah?
It was definitely close. I mean, well, he's definitely game.
Okay.
He was there to fight. He showed up. I give him credit for that. But, you know, if your opponent says that he lost, then he lost.
Okay.
Let's just be real about it.
Maybe he's just more humble than what people gave him credit for.
Guys, look
at They were counting you out since day one, baby.
Guys, Thurman. Look at his face. Look at Thurman's face and compare him to Pacquiao's face.
I'm just saying, from round six to 12, Thurman got that.
No.
Thurman got that.
No.
Except one round.
What?
So six to eight, and then he lost the eighth round. I think that was where he got hit.
10th.
Yeah. 6 to 9, and then no flood. And then lost the 10th round, and then 11 and 12, he had it.
Okay. All right, man. Well, yeah, Morales right about the Filipinos always gathering when Pacquiao fights Shot.
One thing that... Well, man, shut up. Both of you guys. Shut your mouth.
Too tired of watching Pacquiao fight, dude.
No, not really, man. He's exciting. I mean, it's not... Try to watch a Floyd Mayweather fight in its entirety twice.
Right.
Tell me you won't fall asleep. Thanks.
Yeah, it's true. Floyd Mayweather bores me. I mean, he's just all defensive.
Yeah, whatever.
Just,
so what?
He's going for the
oh, man, judges. I can't wait to see him fight.
At least Pacquiao, things happen in his fights. I remember when he got knocked out, we were at your place, John.
Yeah,
that was
very true.
That was kind of hilarious, actually.
Everybody was, all the Filipinos were quiet, all the non-Filipinos were cheering.
Yeah. All non-Filipinos were laughing.
Assholes.
I was laughing, that's all I was
assholes.
Doing.
Assholes.
Yeah. I think me and Tim were laughing. Just
I was in
just
disbelief. I didn't know what was going on. Oh, oh my God, I got knocked out.
Who did he get knocked out by? It was Morales, right?
Marquez,
that was it. Oh, man.
Almost.
Oh, so it was with an M. I was close on that one. Yeah, but... So, yeah, did you have people over last night?
No, it was just me.
No, you just watched it yourself?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Shirt off or shirt on?
Shirt in. Shirt on. No, not shirt on. Definitely not shirt on.
Yo, dude, congratulations to our fellow podcaster, Mike, on the birth of his baby, Ella.
Ella.
Congratulations, Mike and Amy. That's awesome. John, Mike's brother, is now an uncle. John, how you feel, man? How's it feel to be Uncle John, dude?
It feels like being John Rigaccio.
Oh.
But
use his last name on the podcast. Look out, everybody.
But the bigger news is that his other brother is officially Uncle Paulie.
Yo, Uncle Paulie!
True. Paul, shout out to Paul if he listens to the podcast. But have you met Ellie yet, John? You have, right?
Yeah, I have.
How is she?
A baby.
Yeah. how am I?
She's a cute little baby. Doesn't show... I don't know how to describe newborn babies. They're just...
Did you see the baby with your shirt on or your shirt off?
Amy would kill me if I had my shirt off.
How's Amy and Mike doing?
They're good.
Yeah.
They're recovering.
Yeah.
Mike sends his well wishes. He was wearing, I think, his Pascal Siakam jersey.
Nice.
For good luck.
Nice. There you go, Pascal Siakam.
From China.
Friend of Raul and friend of the podcast.
Friend of Raul, personal friends.
Personal friend of Raul, because Raul said he was the second option on the Raptors this year. How are your parents, man?
They're so excited.
New Diane Nye, huh? Is that what you call them now, or no?
No, I just call them Mom and Dad.
Yeah. But can I call your dad Di now?
I guess, if he accepts you.
Oh, God. All right. All right, we'll see.
Do you have to see your parents with your shirt on or your shirt off?
They see me with my shirt on and shirt off.
They don't care.
My mom is like, my dad's pretty disgusting. Tells me to put a shirt back on.
But for all you non-Filipinos out there, Dai means grandpa in Tagalog, right?
It means dad.
It means dad?
Yeah. Lolo is grandpa.
Oh, Lolo is grandpa. All right.
Yeah, but we call Dai is like dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never knew that. So John's grandpa, when we were growing up, we always called John's grandpa Dai. And, yeah, man. So I didn't know.
We got food. You got food. We got blood there.
That's a pretty good impression. Yeah, man. So it's the off season now. It's just a really chill podcast tonight. Obviously, we're not getting into the basketball portion right away. We're just kind of just chilling. The off season's basically over, so we're just kind of just going to wing it tonight, to be honest with you. I mean, summer league's over. A lot of shit happened, but we've covered the big stories on the show thus far. So it's kind of just, we're just going to take it for how it is tonight, man. You know?
The dust has settled.
The dust has settled.
Teams have been made.
Yeah, the 2019-2020 season is going to be probably the most exciting, at least from the onset that I can remember. I think this is probably like the best offseason ever. If you really look at it, all the trades and free agent signings and stuff and where all these guys went.
For sure.
It's and, crazy, man.
And Oklahoma City is still going to make the playoffs, so that's crazy.
Yeah, the Bulls are going to be champions this year.
So. Yeah, man. Yeah, the Bulls and the Thunder and then be the finals.
I personally can't wait until the Bulls only win like 30 games.
Me too.
And Eddie's going to be so mad.
No, not mad. No.
Oh, yeah?
No. If it results in John Paxson and Gar Foreman being fired, I won't be mad.
They're not going to get fired.
I know. They never will. But yeah, man, it'll be an interesting season. So, you boys, the Thunder roll, you feeling good about them?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about them. Why? Dude, they're going to kill it.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the heart of some of these players on there.
They're going to be motivated.
Everybody looked at the Clippers last year and were like, oh, yeah, it's over. Especially once they lost Tobias Harris. Even with Tobias Harris, they weren't even like a serious playoff contending team.
Yeah.
And then they lose Tobias Harris and everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate Gallinari and Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder and Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel there, and you get back these young gunners who have nothing to lose. Don't ever underestimate a team who has nothing to lose.
If they are there, I think it's a bigger thing, though. I don't know if those guys are going to be there by the time the season starts.
Will Chris Paul be there?
Yes.
You think?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I don't see OKC trying to make a move right away. They don't really need to.
Yeah.
And on a personal level, man, this is what Chris Paul gets for trying to manipulate the landscape of the NBA. I don't know if you guys heard about this. You know, he
elaborate, John.
You know, there were reports coming out while he was the Players Association
president. Yeah.
President.
Yeah.
That he was actually behind some of these moves, a la LeBron going to Miami.
Really?
I mean, that's what he wanted. He wanted to give, you know, he wanted to give more preference to his friends.
Okay, yeah.
Like Melo, they wanted to team up as much as possible.
Yeah.
And there were people like, say, the middle tier players. I don't know how you would describe them.
Right.
Rodney Hood.
Yeah, like Rodney Hood, like a starter.
It's a good example. Yeah, like a good starter who's not a star.
Yeah. Like, say,
Enes Kanter.
Aminu.
Thad Young, something like that, yeah, alright.
You know, and these guys are like, well, wait, where's my piece of the pie?
Basically all of the Portland Trailblazer team.
Outside of Damian Lillard, yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, this is what he gets. I don't feel sorry for Chris Paul because he tried to play the hand of God.
Yo, this is not a punishment. Like,
going to Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not a punishment,
I think him being traded 2 years in, or from not 2 years in a row, but like, you know, he wanted his way out of Los Angeles, and then he didn't want to leave Houston, but they got him out of there in favor of James Harden. I think that was kind of a punishment on Chris in that regard, because he went from a team that could legitimately challenge for a championship this coming year with Golden State hurt and, you know, all these new teams in the West. Now he goes to Oklahoma City, where they could make the playoffs as they're currently constructed. But I think they're going to break it up. I think they're just going to dump everybody, man.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think people are giving Chris Paul enough credit. Yeah. Even though I'm not really that big of a Chris Paul fan, yo, real recognize real, dude. Like, you got skills, and I think you still got the skills. Last year, yeah, he was injured for a little bit, but when he was healthy, he was still very, very good. There's still not very many point guards in the league that are better than Chris Paul. There's the elite few that are definitely better than him. But then other than that, when the drop-off after, I'll say, Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul is still, I'd say, top 10 point guard in the league.
No, for sure.
So, he could fit perfectly there. And this could be exactly what he needed. Maybe he just needs a team to run all on his own, not with somebody else there like a James Harden, not with even somebody there kind of like a Blake Griffin. Maybe he just wants to be the guy that will get him there, and obviously you're a little older now, and you're not going to be the guy that maybe scores 30 points a game, but you're definitely going to be the guy who's the most crucial in you getting to where you need to be.
What? Yeah.
Who would score the 30 points, though? Who would do the majority of scoring?
Gallinari.
Gallinari put up a decent stats last year.
What if he gets injured?
He could, yeah.
I mean, yeah, but what if anybody gets injured? It's the same thing with some of these other, with the top-tier teams. What if Kawhi gets injured? What if Paul George gets injured?
But I'm just saying,
what if LeBron gets injured? What if AD Gallinari, gets injured?
Gallinari has a history of missing a lot of games throughout his career.
No, and you're right, John, but the guys that Raul just mentioned also had to do too. LeBron just got hurt last year. AD's been hurt his whole career. Kawhi's been hurt the past 2 years. Raul's got a point in that too, but it's kind of with who's going to do the scoring load on Oklahoma City, I think it's just going to be a by-committee thing.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a by-committee thing.
You'll see a bunch of guys every 15 or so.
Think about, yeah.
15 to 18.
I think Adams is going to take a step this year, too. The offensive load is obviously going to be on him more. And I think he's just going to be able to catch lobs and stuff all day from Chris Paul. They're making the playoffs, bro. I'm calling this right now. OKC's making the playoffs. I don't care. OKC's gonna be a six seed, and it's gonna just take everybody by storm. And then on top of that, even after they make the playoffs, dang, we still got like 20 first round draft picks. Get out of my face.
Yo, that,
OKC all day. Let's go, baby.
From what I've heard about potential places Paul could go to.
Miami is very attractive.
But Miami wants both their picks back, and then they want like everything else.
Exactly. That's why the thing about Chris Paul and him landing in OKC is that it's the perfect place for him, because honestly nobody's really willing to give up too much for you. Even though I do believe that he's still valuable. But a team like Miami isn't going to go out of their way to get you. There's not one team in the league that's going to go out of their way to get you.
Right.
And on top of that, if you want to cement your legacy, I mean, you're not going to cement your legacy just with Oklahoma City. Obviously, everything else, what you did earlier in your career matters. But if he could come in here and turn this team around and get these young guys to be professionals, you could kind of, like right now, Chris Paul's reputation isn't really that great.
That, I think, is the bigger thing, is that he kind of has to be humbled when he goes to Oklahoma City right now. Yeah, it's a big thing for Chris to make sure that he doesn't let the same things that happened in Los Angeles and in Houston happen again in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, well, let's just hope that was a humbling experience for him.
Right.
And if I think it's a bit of a stretch. I'm not going to lie about the OKC making the playoffs. I know you're a big OKC
fan. Let's go, baby! OKC all day!
I respect that.
You got to. Yep.
They're coming.
But if they get it, if everything falls into place, and one thing more is, if Chris Paul takes the scoring load, which I think he should have done earlier in his career.
Yeah.
I think they have a chance to make the playoffs.
Okay.
A slight chance.
Okay. I mean, Paul is going to have to remain healthy and take a lot of scoring. Yeah. Right, yeah.
Like, for example, what was that game when he was with the Clippers against Memphis in that playoff? They were down by like
25 or something
Yeah, and then he took the scoring load. Dude, why? He could clearly do that during his prime. I don't get why he did that.
I think with Houston, it was more just, that was kind of how they wanted it. They wanted Harden to have more of the
even with Paul in LA, he could have taken the scoring load off Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be Oklahoma City is going to be an interesting story to follow to monitor this year, see if they do make a Paul trade before the season starts. I think I could see them not trading him before the deadline during the season, just to have him on the roster, maybe build up his value a little bit more for this season. And then in the offseason next year, trade him to somebody who needs a point guard who is willing to give up first round picks, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right, man. They got a ton of picks, dude. Like, man, if I'm an Oklahoma City fan like you, I'm excited, man.
I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Even though your boys Westbrook and Durant and Harden never won a championship.
Yeah.
You still okay with that?
I mean, whatever. I have to be okay with it. It's
it all.
You know, it's like I said before. man, it's not on one person.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just that Harden didn't win his championship, it's that team didn't win the championship. It's not that Westbrook didn't win his championship, it's that the team that Westbrook had didn't win the championship.
Yeah.
It never comes down to just one guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a little upsetting that Westbrook didn't get it, and he stayed he had the longest tenure in on the Thunder. But it is what it is. It doesn't always happen for everybody.
And I just want to say that if you were back at that point where Presley was deciding either Ibaka or Harden,
yeah,
I mean, I would go with Ibaka because of the low post presence, you know, just to balance the team out. You really never knew what you were going to get with Harden, even though he showed great potential. And even if he did show that potential, you had to pay him eventually.
Right.
So he had to go... He had to go at one point or the other.
Right, right. Yeah. And Presti learned from that mistake of trading Harden but not getting a big name or big blue chip player back.
Back, yeah, exactly.
And he did that in all of his trades, all of his big trades going forward.
Yeah, he never let it happen ever again.
Yeah, yeah. And so that kind of actually set up OKC for the future now.
Yeah.
Is that if he hadn't learned from that, if he had just given up, I don't know, Paul George for peanuts or whatever,
yeah,
then they'd be in a terrible position right now. But right now, they're in a great position, dude.
And we said before, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to give your sixth man who scores 16 points a game freaking a max, like almost a max contract or like a bunch of money? Like, you have no idea what is going to happen. And then on top of that, you got back Kevin Martin, who is, when you look at his stats, all right, I think we got back somebody who's kind of like James Harden, you know, like
right.
And maybe Kevin Martin had the potential to be a James Harden, you know, not in the sense of like, he's doing the same thing James Harden does, but people were waiting for Kevin Martin to go off too. People were waiting for Kevin Martin to become like a James Harden type player of he just dominates like. A dominant scorer.
Yeah.
You know, he was scoring, he was putting up 30s left and right on Houston. And then so you get him and you're like, okay, I'm pretty excited. This guy's more established than James Harden. You know, what are you going to do? You take a chance and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right, yeah, he did average 22 points in multiple seasons.
Before Kevin Martin broke his hand, he scored 40 with a broken hand.
Yeah.
And he just never recovered from it.
Yeah.
So those are some gambles that obviously didn't work out. Like, for example, giving Ben Simmons the max. That's a gamble.
You think?
I think so.
Well, let's talk about that, man. That's
I think that's a gamble. I'm going to say...
5 years, $170 million?
Yep, 5 years, $170. Why is it a gamble, John?
Man, he hasn't learned how to shoot a ball. Are you serious?
Yeah, but if you look at statistically, he's like one of the rarest players ever thus far,
okay,
man.
Okay, great. Stats are awesome. But is that gonna take you over the hump and win a chip?
That's what the Sixers are willing to bet.
Is this an extension or this is a
This is an extension
on his rookie contract. So basically, they gave him the extension before he hits the market, so he's not gonna hit the market in which would be this coming summer, actually.
So they did what OKC did with Westbrook. They gave him that extension in the hopes that Westbrook became the player that he would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that worked.
Yeah, of
right?
course, yeah.
Okay, but I can point Andrew Wiggins, who got that money and didn't become the player that he should be.
And so that comes down to mentality. And the Sixers have to have done their homework on Simmons to see if he's that guy who's gonna be motivated by the money and motivated to win, or if he's the guy who's just going to take the money like Wiggins did and just, that's it. And he's not going to develop, and Wiggins is who he is, man. He's a 17-point-a-game scorer. Plays every game, but, you know, it's kind of... So what do you think, John? Do you think he's the guy who's going to take his game to the next level? Or do you think he's just going to plateau right now and just be a guy who's making a lot of money, but okay stats, but they can't get to the finals?
To me, he's the latter.
The latter, you think?
I think it's the latter. He's just going to made a lot of money. He's good for what he is.
Okay.
You know, he is a mismatch problem. He is a triple-double machine. But I don't think that necessarily translates into a championship.
Okay.
So I think he needs to step up for that, you know, to deserve that max money.
Right,
in my opinion. Right. So for me, it's a gamble. I wouldn't have done it right then and there. And what I would have done is that, I would have let him play out that last year, let him go bananas, and then
see what happens.
Yeah. Negotiate that max money. He's gonna make more if he just develops his game.
Right. Well, maybe. I mean, he would have been restricted this coming summer, so Philadelphia would have been able to match any offer sheet any other team would assign him to, which doesn't happen very often, but you know, it could have happened. But I mean, it's kind of, yeah, it's we're going to see what happens if he does develop a jumper. Raul, what do you think about that extension? And we'll talk about the Sixers after this then.
The 76ers, if they make the finals, it's not because of Ben Simmons. It's because of Joel Embiid.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
But there's a lot of... That's a loaded statement.
Yes, it is.
That's a very loaded statement.
Okay.
And in order for Joel Embiid to get them to the finals, Joel Embiid needs to be happy. Joel Embiid needs to be happy with the players that he's playing with. And I think the relationship that he has with Ben Simmons is extremely crucial in the reason why they gave Ben Simmons that money. I think they gave Ben Simmons that money as kind of just a... It's an investment. I think it's a good investment. Because if you have a guy like Ben Simmons, and, you know, you give him this money, you know that he's a good... That it's going to be a good dynamic. This team is run very well with their leaders being Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And that's where they have their success. So yeah. You already, I'm gonna gauge it. I'm gonna break it down and like, okay, that's for me. That's worth like $50 million already, right there. You know.
Right. Yeah. $50 million.
Okay. That's like $50 million right there.
Okay.
Okay. On top of that, you have the potential of him. What's the knock on him right now? Just jump shooting.
Yeah.
So. Jump shooting is only a small part of the game. And shooting is probably like the easiest thing that you can learn or expect somebody to learn.
Yeah.
So for that alone, that's worth like another $50 million right there. That's like another, that's $100 million that you're paying him just for the fact of this guy did good work for the team. He's been a good leader. He's been a good partner with Joel Embiid. He's also got a unique set of skills. His court vision's really good.
Right, yeah.
But the knock on his game is that he's shooting. And then you have the kind of player that he's become in the first 2 years that he's been in the league. You see how hard he works. You see the work ethic. You see the amount of work he puts into his game, just the way that he carries himself. To me, I think it's worth it. That's another $50 million right there to me. You know, like, I think this is just, you know what, Philly is all in. Philly's all in with what they have right now.
Of course.
With the success that they had just in the past 3 years, you gotta pay for that now. You just have to, because that's what we have and we're trying to win. Like, we're just trying to do whatever it takes to win. And we started winning 2 or 3 years ago, and so we gotta keep that formula going. And it doesn't matter to us right now if it's going to bite us in the ass later. Just like I think you related to Russell Westbrook, I think Oklahoma City definitely got their money's worth with the way that Westbrook turned out and they invested in him and how he invested in himself and how he improved on his game. But after that extension was over, you didn't do enough for us to pay you more money after we gave you money for your extension. And I think that's what can happen with Ben Simmons. We're going to give you this money for an extension, 4 years?
5 years.
5 years. We're going to ride it out with you for 5 years. You're going to be, what, 25?
No. 23? It'll be 5 years, so it'll be technically 6 years. But yeah, because this year is...
Yeah. You're still going to be young. And then if whatever happens, if we like the way that you are after 5 years, then we'll see.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm essentially pointing out is this is a gamble.
Right, and it is.
It's a huge gamble.
And you know what the gamble, I think the bigger gamble is, though, is they had to do this because Embiid is so uncertain. Embiid's prime is going to be so uncertain that they don't know when Embiid's going to break down. That they don't know when his body is going to completely fail him. They signed him to a 4-year, $100 million extension before he played an NBA game, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 2-3 years ago. And then he was, I mean, it might have been that first season where he played like 20 games.
You have two freaks on your team.
Right.
Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid.
Right. And you lock both of them up, but Embiid's the fragile one where you don't know what's going to happen to him. Simmons is looking like the guy who's going to be more healthy. So you lock him up for longer, even a little bit more money. And in case if he does continue to develop his game, then you, this looks like a bargain.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, it is a big gamble, but I think you hit it on, and you're right about that. And I was about to say hit it on the head again, I always do. But you're right about that, where Embiid and Simmons, they have that dynamic duo.
Yeah. Like straight up dynamic duo. You have the dynamic duo that you need. You know, you need at least one dynamic duo on your team in order to do something. You got Paul George and Kawhi. You have the LeBron and ADs. You have the Kyrie and the Durant. You have to have a dynamic duo, and the dynamic duo that they had has already gotten far. So it's, I think
so far,
I think it would.
Right.
I think it's more of a gamble, honestly, to let them walk.
To let him test free agency after this year?
Yeah.
John, what would you say? Would you let, even though he's restricted, he'll match any offer?
Oh, if he, I would match it. But, I mean, I wouldn't give him the max right off the bat.
Well, and I bring this up. Philadelphia's not a small market by any stretch, so they don't have to really worry about that. But something that happened with Utah a couple of years ago when Gordon Hayward was up for restricted free agency, and he signed with Charlotte. And Utah matched that contract. He had signed a deal with Charlotte to go to Charlotte, and Utah matched the offer sheet, and he stayed in Utah for 3 more years. But then when he became unrestricted, he left Utah. Because of that, that was a key of why he left Utah, because they didn't want to give him that contract in the first place. So it shows a commitment to Simmons. Hey, we're committing to you before you even hit free agency. We want you here. We want you to be the face of this franchise along with Joel. We're going to develop. We're going to run our franchise behind you two. Obviously, signing Tobias Harris, Horford, and trading for Richardson was huge. But you two are the guys for the future, now and the future. So I think it was a gamble for now and the future, where they're showing that commitment to Simmons, and they're hoping that it pays off. They're hoping he doesn't turn to Wiggins.
That's what I'm saying. Is that if he developed a shot, like even like a 15 footer, or where around the where the free throw line is, the corner that. Where the free throw line, you know.
The elbow. Yeah.
Dude, if you have a jump shot, and you know this too, Eddie. Like, if you have a jump shot, everything around that jump shot is better.
It makes everything so much easier because guys have to respect it.
So if you're gonna give that guy without a jump shot that money, okay. But it's been proven that these guys... that without a jump shot, this guy is not going to advance no more than the second round in the playoffs.
But
and you're right.
Go ahead.
I was going to compare it to Wiggins. When they signed Wiggins to that deal, it was after Minnesota had gotten an 8 seed. They got blasted by Houston, and then they re-signed Wiggins, and then they offered Jimmy Butler, and that was all the saga. But Wiggins had shown improvement steadily. He didn't have a glaring weakness like Simmons, but his success in the league had not been as good as Simmons. Ben Simmons, the past 2 years, they won 50 games first year, lost to the Celtics, were a 4-bounce shot away from going to overtime against the Raptors, potentially going to the Eastern Conference Finals for Philadelphia. So the success that Ben Simmons has had prior to signing this deal was way better than what Andrew Wiggins had done.
Also, it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges for me. Just because it happened with Wiggins doesn't necessarily it's going to happen with Ben Simmons, mainly because Ben Simmons' skill set is completely different from Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, no, of course.
Andrew Wiggins is, you know, you were relying on him to be your primary scorer.
Yeah.
To be able to get you from, you know, 15 feet out. However, which way he does it. And get to the basket a little bit.
Right.
But you're not relying on his court vision. You're not relying on him being the type of leader that Ben Simmons needs to be. You're not relying on, you know, just a lot of those things. You were only relying on Andrew Wiggins to become an elite scorer like that.
Mm-hmm.
With Ben Simmons, you just want him to get better at running the team.
Yeah.
And then if he can get this jump shot, then that's awesome. Like, that's what you need to be perfect. But right now, what you're doing is kind of enough for me to be like, okay, I'm fine with you paying you this, because what you can do for this team is a lot better than what we can get back if we don't re-sign you.
Fair
you know,
enough. Well, of course. Yeah.
If we don't re-sign you, and if we let you go or whatever happens, where are we going to be? Who are we going to get back that is anywhere near as talented and has near as much potential as Ben Simmons.
Right. Yeah.
At such a young age.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're going to need to get a guy who can work well with Joel Embiid, who knows that, like, Joel, you are the guy, and I'm going to defer to you all the time. Now, if you get a guy like, let's just say, Russell Westbrook, you know, like, just...
Chris Paul.
Yeah, you know, Chris Paul or whatever. You don't know how that's going to work out with the kind of guys that they have in Philly, with the kind of franchise that they got. You got somebody who's proven who can get you this success. That's why, for me, it's like, I'm not really comparing what Ben Simmons could be if he could be, like, the next Wiggins, because it's... I think it's completely different. Their situations are a lot different.
The next Wiggins, I'm just saying that...
It could blow up in their face.
It can blow up in their face.
Yeah.
And considering the parity that we have in this league now, where there's no super team, it's just two guys, two really good players, and a bunch of role players on several different teams.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying, that's a gamble. You're going to take a gamble, especially how the league is shaping up. I'm just waiting to see.
So that's an interesting thing. The thing that you mentioned is the parity in the NBA. Philadelphia decided to keep what they had. They didn't go after anything else.
Right.
Obviously, they signed Al Horford and they traded Jimmy Butler, which was a great trade. But they kept their core intact with Simmons and Embiid, re-signing Simmons or giving Simmons an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Does that allow Philadelphia to get a head up on this coming season? Where do you see Philadelphia being this coming season? What do you guys see? Based on what they did in offseason?
Same.
Fifth?
The same. I don't see it going up or down. They just stayed the same.
So they were a third seed? Yeah, they were three seed last year, yeah.
Yeah.
So you say they're a three still?
I wouldn't say they're a three seed, but they just stayed the same.
Okay.
The team dynamic hasn't really changed. And while everybody else did.
Right. And do you think that could work in Philadelphia's favor for this upcoming season?
It could, but I could also see it working against their favor, especially say they go up against the Bucks and they have to deal with Giannis again, and they have a bunch of shooters. Like, I get you're not going to put Embiid on Giannis,
right? And
you're going to put Horford. He took Horford to the.
I know he took him to school.
Cool,
and he did, but I. And I was going to say this. I was thinking of this earlier. I likened last year Memphis with Gasol and Jaren Jackson as a team that reminded me of like the 04 Pistons, where it was Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace protecting the rim. Actually, no, it's Philadelphia this coming season, where Horford is a very strong, you know, solid body. Obviously, yeah, John, you're right. Giannis schooled his ass in the playoffs, but Horford did not have a shot blocker like Joel Embiid behind him. He did not have that type of player behind him to wall up against Giannis. He had Aaron Baines, who is Aaron Baines, man.
But then, I mean, you don't have to... I'm just saying, you don't have to really worry about Giannis being walled up if you have somebody in the corner waiting to shoot him the way that Milwaukee's shooting.
Right, yeah.
That alone is going to be difficult to defend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that Philadelphia's perimeter defense actually improved with Josh Richardson... Not over Jimmy Butler, but over J.J. Redick. I'd rather have Josh Richardson as a defender over J.J. Redick. That, I think, was a steal that they were able to facilitate that 14 deal for Jimmy Butler. When Jimmy Butler was unrestricted free agent, that was an awesome deal by Elton Brand.
I'm not worried. If I'm Philly, I'm not worried about Milwaukee. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Okay.
Every game that I saw last year, Joel Embiid and Giannis, their numbers were very comparable. If not, Joel Embiid sometimes got the better of that matchup. On top of that, adding Al Horford and Josh Richardson gives you so many more options on offense.
Yeah, it does.
That I'm not really worried about not being able to stop Giannis, because the fact of the matter is now that you have Al Horford and another quick wing who can score in a lot of different ways.
Very underrated, Josh Richardson. Very underrated.
You're not going to be able to stop Joel Embiid. You're not going to be able to stop Ben Simmons. And on top of that, even if you do, you have a reliable guy down low who will back down whoever is trying to switch onto Horford or whoever. And then other than that, you have another guy like Josh Richardson who could just come around and run around screens or get to the basket whenever he wants. And then on top of that, you still have Tobias Harris. So, like, I'm not worried about Milwaukee if I'm Philly. I honestly put Philly at either number two or number one. I'm thinking more number one. Not so much considering their defense as much as how much is on their offense, but also as a whole, I just think that they're also better defensively than most.
Yeah, I think this team is always going to be one of the best defensive teams in the NBA this year. I agree 100% with you, man. I'd super
and,
high.
And I get that they might not be able to stop Giannis, but I'm not worried. I know that they're not going to be able to stop Giannis, but I know that they could stop the Bucks. I know that the Bucks,
we'll see.
The Bucks won't be able to stop the 76ers.
What I say earlier, consistency or the team that you having the team that you had last year is very important this upcoming season because so many changes happened, right?
Yeah, Milwaukee didn't have much roster turnover.
They brought the whole team back except they lost Brogdon, but they I don't know, they got Wes Matthews
and they got Kyle Korver
and they got Kyle Korver, great sign by Milwaukee this week too. Milwaukee's an interesting case. We'll talk about them later. I don't want to talk about them right now. We spend a lot of time talking about them.
I'm just not a... I get you guys are optimistic on Philadelphia. I guess I'm a little more pragmatic when it comes to them. We'll see.
Illmatic.
You're Illmatic. Shirt off Matic.
Shirt-matic.
Shirt-matic. Let's go, dude.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, the off season's just about over, and we can't wait for the regular season, man. It's just it's how it goes, man. It's NBA season needs to start right now, But we need time off. Actually, that's true.
Maybe I think Raul might like this one. Are we kind of overlooking the Lakers right now? I kind of do like that roster.
I love that roster. I like last podcast. I said that the Lakers are going to make the Western Conference Finals. They're going to make the Western Conference Finals. Be prepared for Anthony Davis to just destroy some shit. Like it's going to be nasty. It's going to be absolutely nasty.
Right.
LeBron's numbers haven't gone down. LeBron's numbers have not gone down. They've actually gotten better. They were better last year than like Miami. That Miami year where he shot like 57% from the field.
No, I gotta check this. Look it up. All right, go ahead. Continue.
Look it up.
Continue. Give us your spiel.
But
give it.
It's gonna be nasty. It's gonna be nasty. The only team who I think is gonna give him a run for the money is Utah. Utah's got that European Spurs team. That European Spurs flow.
It's like that. It's like soccer. It's like them playing soccer. I do agree with. With the Lakers, though, that team on paper is very enticing, but it's also the Lakers can be either the biggest boom or the biggest bust.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
Yeah.
Simply because you don't know what you have there.
No.
Really, especially with DeMarcus.
Right. Right.
Especially with LeBron getting older.
Yeah.
Especially with AD getting. His history of injuries.
Yep.
But they also surrounded them with pretty good players, especially Danny Green. I love that pickup.
That was a good sign.
That's like a... Who's that guy in the Heat?
Who?
Mike Miller. That's Miller signing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's like a Danny Green.
But it's a Mike Miller role.
Danny Green has been playing that role and has been better than Mike Miller and Shane Battier and better than everybody since he's been on the Spurs, since he was doing it to that Heat team. So Danny Green and still having Caldwell Pope.
Yeah.
Oh, looks like I got two Danny Greens now.
Don't stop.
Looks like
hell,
I got two Danny Greens now.
Get the hell out of here, man.
Yo. Oh,
get out of here.
Oh, man. Dang, Kuzma's got to come out. Oh, let me pull in my other Kuzma. Avery Bradley, let's go.
Yo, by the way, that Miami comparison, no, you're wrong. A little bit.
Barely.
LeBron shot 56%.
Yeah, barely.
And last year, he shot 51%. LeBron also shot in 2012-2013. He shot 40%.
I think Raul was.
It's comparable.
I'm just saying.
He had more assists last year.
But like, look how long ago that was.
It's the consistency.
Yeah, like the consistency. Yo, his numbers aren't really going down, and the only reason why anybody is even talking about, oh, LeBron's like getting older, is because he got injured for like a little while last year. And they shut him down. I get that they shut him down.
Yeah.
But you don't want to bring, like, he could have played. I think he could have played. But it's just like, whatever, this team sucks. This team sucks. This organization is like on its head. So whatever. I'm just gonna sit out. Like, I don't even care. But yo, it's coming. It's coming. That team is full of professionals now. I get that. I don't see how it could be a huge bust. If anything, they might underperform and they might not be in the top four teams.
Yeah, yeah, I see that happening. I see that more happening than them missing the playoffs. Yeah. This team won't miss the playoffs.
Yeah, they're not going to miss the playoffs. They're not going to be like a ninth seed, you know? Like, maybe they might go through some growing pains and whatever and wind up being like a six or seven seed, you know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. Like, come crunch time, you know that all these guys are going to be playing for the playoffs.
Right.
So they're going to give you their best effort in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and it's going to be it is more, I think John's right, it's going to be how they gel. If they can, if they blow up to the point where there's a lot of infighting and they still win like 45, 48 games and they make the playoffs as a 6-7 seed or whatever.
But who's going to be infighting? That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody.
Cousins and Rondo, man? I don't know.
Oh, no, they played together.
They played together. They never fought. Like, Cousins, when they played together in New Orleans, Cousins was never being like, yo, Rondo, you know, like,
yeah,
yo, give me the ball, man.
Yeah, like, never. No, no. Even when DeMarcus went on to Golden State, everybody was like expecting him to, like, all right, it's either gonna work out or there's gonna be fighting, and that never happened. It just didn't work out. That's all that happened.
Yeah, all right, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, those are a couple of combustible personalities, but
DeMarcus doesn't fight with players. He fights with like refs and fans. He doesn't fight with his teammates. He doesn't fight with his teammates. He wants to win, you know. He wants to win, but yeah, he doesn't like refs and he doesn't like fans. That is what it is. Yeah, like, screw you, refs. nobody likes the refs.
Yeah.
Yo, by the way, I'm looking at LeBron's stats. That guy. I just want to point out something. Yeah, I played 42 minutes a game when he was 20 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was 42 minutes in 2004 and 2005, 2006, played 42 minutes a game. That's stupid. All right, but with the Lakers, you said conference finals. What do you think for the Lakers this year, John? Ultimately, what do you think?
It could be conference finals, but I'm going to say second round.
Second round exit?
Second round for Anthony Davis, LeBron, DeMarcus, Avery Bradley.
They're gonna lose.
Kyle Kuzma.
They're gonna lose to the Clippers.
Stop.
It's gonna be awesome.
Stop.
We'll see. I mean, that's the West is still
open. Check this out. You know who's not gonna make it past the second round? The Clippers.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of Paul George.
Come on, man.
Oh my God.
Man, you and B. What's with you guys and Paul George?
I tried giving Paul George a chance, dude. I'm tired of this guy letting me down, dude. Yo, stop letting me down. Stop letting everybody down.
But you got Kawhi Leonard, though.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard is coming off the best postseason since Jordan. That guy can do anything. He took Toronto to the championship and beat the Warriors.
Who's on the Clippers roster right now?
Lou Williams, Pat Beverly, Landry Shamet, Jamichael Green. Let me give you the exact roster. Hold on. Go ahead, John. What are you talking?
Keep talking about what?
I don't know, about the Clippers. What do you think about them? What are they going to do?
Man, it's very hard to say. I do like the prospect of Kawhi and Paul George together.
Okay.
I think Paul George realized that he's going to be somebody's Robin to Batman.
Right. All right, so the Clippers, oh, wow. Pat Beverly, yeah, as I said, Paul George, Michael Green, Mo Harkless, Montrezl Harrell, Kawhi, Lil Will, Landry Shamet, Zubac. Yeah, some rookies, but that's kind of. I mean, it's they do have a bunch of veterans, not role guys. They have a bunch of role guys. They have Lou Williams, man.
I know.
And they got your boy Pat Bev.
Yeah. You know what it's going to be the downfall of them? Defensive lapses when it matters most. And it's going to come down to, like, Paul George having a defensive lapse. I don't think Kawhi's going to have a defensive lapse.
I do think Kawhi's overrated defensively, though.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't think he's as good as he was when he was on the Spurs, Kawhi.
Right, because last year he had to kind of fill the different role. When he was on the Spurs, all he had to do was defend and just...
But I could definitely see these games kind of coming close because Lou Williams and Paul George and Kawhi will definitely be enough to get you there. And then it's going to come down to, like, certain defensive lapses where maybe Mo Harkless isn't going to slide over or whatever. Paul George is going to have too much pride and think that he could do it on his own, and then he's just going to get killed like he always does.
Yeah. You know, I was actually...
Harrell's going to get crushed by some of these bigger centers in the league.
That's the only weakness I see on the Clippers is that they don't really have anybody like a decent big.
No, I get what you're saying.
And they're undersized.
Yeah, they're very undersized. You know, what's interesting though, you reminded me of something, Raul, that they are going to have defensive lapses, and there's a reason for that. There's a metric that I found while scouring the web. It's called Draymond. It's by 538.com. They created a defensive metric that that does not reward players who go for steals and miss and then allow a basket. And interestingly enough, players like Paul George don't rank very high in this metric role.
Yep.
So they're all...
He always does that.
Yep.
Rubio's probably on the bottom of that list.
Number one is Draymond Green. Montrezl Harrell is up there, though. He's in the top, like, 30.
He does that all the time, too. Those
but, no, Harrell's good in
stealing the ball and resulting for a basket.
It really rewards players who are good shot blockers. Actually, number three is Kristaps Porzingis, where people who just wall up and are not, like, are good at contesting shots.
Yeah.
Basically, who are good at contesting layups. Yeah. What's up? So, but players like Kristaps Porzingis actually rank very high in this metric. But yeah, it kind of penalizes people like Paul George, the best Draymond defender of 2018-2019. Best guy in this metric was Derek Favors, actually.
Derek Favors, super solid.
Derek Favors, he was key to that Utah defense, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time. Your boy Nurkic, number four.
Yeah.
Number five, John, guess who? He was on your fantasy team last year. You loved him on the Mavs.
J.J. Barrett.
Maxi Kleber.
Oh, baby.
Number five, yep.
Yeah, man, I like that Dallas team.
That Dallas team coming this year.
Dallas is coming. Yeah, Dallas is coming for some blood, too.
They're going to be a fun team to watch this year, man.
Let's just hope they get their money's worth with Kristaps. I'm not necessarily a fan of them giving the max either.
That was kind of that's way different than Simmons, because Kristaps has to play a second for Dallas.
I know,
and that's a bigger gamble than Simmons. I think that's the biggest gamble of the whole postseason or the whole offseason.
I just don't know how you guys can support that.
Well, it's kind of, I don't know, man. If he has a good relationship with Luka, dude.
It's me and my brother on that boat disagreeing about that max.
Yeah.
Screw you all.
man,
I'll stand on that boat.
I mean, I do think Kristaps is going to be a little underwhelming this season.
You think?
I think a lot of people are expecting him to be like Kristaps of old right away.
No, yeah, and that's not happening.
That's not going to happen right away. Yeah. And I could definitely see it being pretty rough for him for probably almost half of the season, at least until the All-Star break. Maybe after the All-Star break, he'll start picking it up. But, yeah, I think people should temper their expectations with Porzingis for now. And if he gives you, like, 15, 16 a game and, like, six boards and maybe a block here and there.
Well, I'd say a block and a half.
Yeah.
He's still a really good defender.
Should be fine with that, you know? That's the most that you could, like, Dirk numbers. Like Dirk of, like, 3 years ago. Numbers.
But yo, I think Doncic is about to tear the league up.
Yeah.
This guy gets an offseason of NBA conditioning.
Yo, that's the biggest question. Yeah. That's the biggest question. If he can get a little faster, with his movement. I'm not saying that the game is his game is bad, because I actually love the game. It's very old school.
Yeah,
but it just needs to.
He's got to be a little bit more explosive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. This guy's never lifted a weight in his life.
Yeah.
He's just played basketball his whole life, and now he gets an off season of conditioning and lifting weights with NBA trainers.
Dude, yeah.
This guy's gonna dominate next year. I'm taking him in fantasy. You better not touch him. I might take him first round.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's finish up the show. Final thoughts, guys. Let's go. What you got, John? You got anything?
Hello to everybody who doubted Pacquiao, bitch asses. Get out of here.
Congratulations, man. Still repping the Philippines.
What's up,
dog?
V? You still suck at FIFA. What's up, dog?
V missing an action night. He was DMP. Was it Coach CD?
DMV. V's decision.
DMP. Dimaria.
That's it.
Garnick is DMP back, and V is DMP Dimaria. Riley, you got a final thought, man?
Yeah. The Bulls are only going to win 37 games.
Okay.
That's pretty optimistic.
That might be good enough for an 8 spot in the East, which is hilarious.
No,
it's not. It's not.
Get out of here, Eddie.
I don't know.
When the East was really weaker last year, 37 games wasn't even close.
All right, yeah. Why do you say the Bulls are going to be so bad?
I think they're going to make a 10-win improvement at most.
That's optimistic.
I think 10 wins is more than acceptable.
A lot of things need to go right for this Bulls team.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
And I think, man, I just got to see. I just don't see them being that good.
You got to see Markkanen healthy. You got to see Carter coming back healthy.
I got people coming up to me at work being like, the Bulls, I think the Bulls are going to sneak up and do some things. Like, nah,
no,
like,
not.
Get out of my face, dude.
No, they're not.
Don't do
but,
this to me.
But I do think, from management down to the players, I really do think they're sick of the indifference the city has for them.
For the Bulls?
So hopefully they use that for the motivation, yes.
I hope so, too.
But I don't see it.
Well, I would love to say that would happen, but I don't think that there's any pressure on Paxton and Foreman to make that happen, because right. Their jobs are fine and they'll never get fired, and they know that. And so why would they need to make a move to make the Bulls relevant again, talked mm-hmm. about again? You know, we'll just continue to try and develop LaVine, Markkanen, and Carter, and then try and sign them for cheap, and then you know we'll keep making Jerry Reinsdorf money while we keep our jobs.
Can we just get rid of Otto Porter?
Dude, he's gonna leave. He's gonna test the free agent market once that contract is up.
Good. Get the hell
go
out of
away.
Here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Look, man, look, can we get like a star? No. Like some kind of star?
It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen.
While this front office is here, it's not gonna happen, Ralph. Sorry, man. They just don't operate like that, dude. Be prepared for Carlos Boozer again.
I have another
final 2021. Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to reflect. It's been
1 week since you looked at me. Sorry.
Chickeny Chinese and Chinese chicken. I just wanted to reflect on this whole year. On the squad.
On contest layups?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We made a good improvement, I think, on the show. I like it.
We're 5+1 on the bench with Mike when we need the sixth man.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of you guys... Hopefully, you guys, we have some loyal listeners that... has listened to us throughout all our episodes, and hopefully you see the improvement.
Yep.
It's only going up.
Yep.
And,
damn right, John.
You know, we're trying to make this product better.
Yep.
And hopefully give you guys, you know, a taste of our personalities.
Right.
And hopefully we get a new host.
Whoa. Chill, dude. Chill,
I
mean, man.
I think that's the missing link. We need a new, host.
If you guys don't like me as your host, let us know at contestlastpodcast@gmail.com.
Never get any emails.
No, we don't. Thanks. Yeah, that was. But we are getting a lot better. I like our product, man.
Yeah, I mean,
like we got here, man.
Like, let's just reflect on it. Like, I know we're trying to be businesslike or trying to be all basketball. Trying to be, oh yeah, basketball, awesome, yeah.
Yeah, but...
But, it's, you know, like, yeah, let's just, on a personal note, like, it's been a good year. Let's keep that ball rolling.
Yep.
Let's keep making layups and not contested layups.
No, we'll make our shows. Contest lips, dog. We make them. All right, man. We finish our contest lips. All right, man. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, except Eddie in real life.
Fuck out of here.
We need to make open threes, dog.
Yeah, I hit everything, man. You don't want to see my
get out of here.
Anyway,
hit backboard.
My final thought is going to be about the Orlando Magic. I think that's a team that got overlooked a lot this offseason, but I think their continuity is going to help them a lot. Actually, I like what I saw from Orlando, even though they got blasted by the Raptors last.
Who's their point guard now? Did they get a point guard?
No.
Yeah, Marco. It's still Marco Fultz, baby. Let's go.
Marco Fultz or bust, bro. No, they re-signed Vooch. They got, you know, I think they re-signed Terrence Ross, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Gordon. Now Jonathan Isaac, dude. I like that team. I liked them last year. I think they made a big run at the end of last year. Really helped them.
Garbage.
Improve. I don't know, man. I think the continuity, as we talked about earlier, really is going to help teams like Orlando out early in the season because of all the stuff that changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Right, John? Let's go.
Familiarity breeds contempt, too, so let's go.
It's another Steve Clifford story, man. You know, it's just going to be the same Steve Clifford.
You think?
Yeah. They did all they can last year. It's not going to work out this year. All
right.
And, yeah, I agree with you, though, that in the beginning of the season, I think probably for the first 15 or 20 games, they might be, like, 10-5. You know, like 15-5, whatever. Like, they're going to start off really hot, and everyone's going to be like, oh, how about this Orlando Magic?
Orlando Magic, watch out!
Yeah, oh, and then yeah, it's going to get really real once everybody starts gelling.
Somebody jumps on the Magic's dick, a.k.a. like Mike Fratello.
Well, of course he would.
And then derails him. You know, they hit a losing streak, and that would be the end of him.
The czar, dog.
I just don't think that they did enough in the offseason. They should have made better moves or bigger moves or something. Because, man, DJ Augustine as your primary point guard, that's rough.
Markelle Fultz, dog.
There. If Markelle Fultz winds up really panning out, then
that's a legit team, dude.
Then they still suck. Then they're still garbage. Yeah,
Markelle Fultz has to stop saying, oh, I got a syndrome on my shoulder.
I know.
And just man up and play.
I know. But I just like their, like I said, like Raul said, I think they're going to start out well. We'll see. I think they're going to continue it, but yeah, let's close it up. Thanks for joining Contest Labs tonight. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. We're on there.
Woo! And pictures and video of John shirtless.
Let's go.
Go to Contested Layups episodes on YouTube. Search that. You'll see, like, the first thing that you see is John shirtless.
Yeah, let's get that up right now,
If you go to my OnlyFans page, you might see me pantless.
Oh, God. All right. Everyone have a great night. Thank you for joining us. See you.
Bye.
Bye.